kid you not, Florida ought to be called the partly cloudy state. The partly cloudy state. I don't know if the Chamber of Commerce would agree to put that on the license plates. Right now, the license plates say the Sunshine State, and I think that really works well for tourism. But, okay, I guess you could, I would settle for the partly sunny state. Partly cloudy, maybe that's an overstatement, because the sun does peek out, but it's not like blazing sunlight all the time. No, I wish it was. I love sunlight. Hello, everyone. This is, again, Martin Zender. I love the sun. I don't even get enough of it in Florida. There I go, complaining again. The sun as a type of Christ. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, inexhaustible topic for me. The source of all life. And people hide from it. All right. I'm not going to get started on that. The contrast between the followers of the wild beast and the 144,000 in the unveiling. Stark. Unbelievable. Ridiculous. So these members of the 144,000 are sealed, and they have two names written on their foreheads. Let's go back to the passage, chapter 14. Now, verse 1. I perceived, lo, the lampkin standing on Mount Zion, and with it 144,000, having its name, that is the name of the lampkin, and its father's name, written on their foreheads. Two names. Now in chapter 7, the seal was placed on their foreheads. But no hint, again, was given of its character. I said that to you yesterday. Now we find that it was not an emblem, nor a number, but it was the name of the lampkin and its father. Because these, as are we, we have this in common with the 144,000, sealed by the shed blood of the Lamb on Calvary for sin. Their safety lies in the great sacrifice. Our safety lies in the great sacrifice. We don't have any names literally written on our heads, but this is in contrast to what the Jews used to do. They had little portions of scripture on their foreheads wrapped around their forearms. So they would have that continually before them. But that to them was a badge of pride. Like, look what we have. And they missed the whole point. Just like circumcision. They missed the whole point. You're supposed to be embarrassed that you're cut in that place. But they used it as a badge of pride. But this is the name of the lambkin. And again, nothing is weaker in nature than a lamb, and nothing is weaker than a lamb than a baby lamb. And its father. And how much is God maligned today? People today, politics, religion, even religion, they're erasing the true God from consciousness. No one wants the true God because one seems to be weak, to need the true God. Why would you need the names constantly, the name of the lampkin or God constantly blazing throughout the earth on your forehead? Or why would we, as members of the body of Christ, constantly voice our reliance on God and Christ? Because it seems weak. I've heard people say Jesus Christ is a crutch. What's the matter? You can't make it through life on your own. You need a crutch. And this is what 666 is. This is what the systems of man are. They are going to plow ahead, and they are going to do it with their own names. Look at the name Trump. T-R-U-M-P. I'm seeing that name everywhere now. I just saw people on the corner, as you listen to me, as I speak, we're in an election year in the United States. And the name Trump is blazoned everywhere. I saw people holding Donald Trump signs. But when the guy builds buildings, he puts his name. He's got a great name, Trump. That's a fantastic name. Donald J. Trump, and his name is emblazoned on his own buildings. And men and women love to do things in their own name. But here, the 144,000, their identity is not in their own names, but in the name of the Lampkin, Jesus Christ, and his Father. And their worship is in the name of the Father. But, oh, the Superman, he's the Antichrist. He comes in his own name. And Jesus said, you don't accept me, but you will accept one who comes in his name. You won't accept my name, but you'll accept another one who comes in his own name. Jesus Christ even said, I can do nothing except I see the Father. And here was the Son of God. And this is the marked contrast between the beast and the worshipers of that day. It's weakness versus strength. It's David and Goliath. It's David and Saul. The weak versus the strong. It's Christ versus Satan. Christ on the cross versus Satan. And what other name do you need? We're sheltered. Like the 144,000, we are sheltered. Because my gosh, listen, if they're sheltered here with a ceiling on their forehead, and if they're sheltered by these names on their forehead, and they're placed in the day of indignation, in the day of trial, and nothing can touch them, then what can you say of us? Because we're in the same situation now as they're going to be then, in a very real way. That we're surrounded by enemies, we're surrounded by apostasy, and that we're a very, very small people. But God has promised to do far more for us than even the 144,000. And they're protected from the day of indignation. How protected are we who are not even going to be going through the day of indignation? Now, if I say you're protected and you're going through something, that must mean that God wants you to go through it. See, Martin, you don't know. I'm not very protected at all. But you are. You are. Those things that are happening to you now are happening to prepare you for your kingdom. It's not on earth, it's in the heavens. So everything that the man of lawlessness and that this bestial system is going to do is going to glorify humanity. Glorify humanity. That's what 666 is all about. Oh, a friend texted me and said, Martin, could it be that 666, why are there three sixes? I did a show from the laundry room a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was last week. Why three sixes? And this man offered a theory on it. I thought it was pretty good, but then I thought about it a little bit. Let me run it past you. He said, could it be that we're in five, we have five eons, and as you've said, Martin, the first three eons are the evil eons. We have the eon of the creation of the first earth that was disrupted. And we had the second eon, beginning with Adam, the beginning of nations. Nations are scattered. That ends with the flood of Noah. And we are in eon three. Paul calls the current wicked eon in Galatians 1:4. And the two good eons are ahead, the kingdom eon of 1,000 years of peace on earth, and the new heavens and the new earth, in which dwells righteousness, and God himself dwells with humanity. I thought this was a considerably good theory, but then I thought, there's only problem. This is, as I just said to you, the epitome of the glorification of humanity. 666 is the number of humanity. There was no humanity in the first eon. Humanity did not show up until the beginning of eon 2, when Adam is created on the heels of the recreation of the ruined earth. Therefore, as much as I like this theory, I'm thinking it's maybe not the case. So I thought more about it. And three is the number of completion. I don't know if I got this all out to you from the laundry room. Seven is the number of perfection. Three, the number of completion. And six is one short of perfection. All are wanting of the glory of God. So could it be that everything in the arsenal of humanity, everything humanity has, the complete arsenal, the complete quiver of arrows that humanity has to glorify itself in opposition to God. And tomorrow I'm going to go through Paul's list in Romans 1. Everything comes out. I am convinced Satan unleashed everything on Christ at the cross. That's why Christ said he made an open show of him. Well, Paul said that through Christ. He made an open show of Satan at the cross. Because Satan said, this isn't the time to hold anything back. And so everything he had, he threw at Christ. That's why we're justified. That's why we cannot be touched anymore. That's why we're saved. Because Satan had him. He had him at the cross. He had him pinned. Couldn't move. Couldn't even swat the flies from his face. And now Satan said, this is the time. I'm not holding anything back. Kind of like Vince Lombardi. When you have a 50-point lead, you're still going to push and push and push. Try to score another touchdown. So Satan, stupidly, this was his undoing. He gave it everything. The full force, the full venting of satanic fury came against Christ because this was going to end it for him once and for all. And if he was going to lose here, he was going to lose for all time because he had nothing else left. And he lost for all time because he had nothing else left. And everything was, sin was exhausted. The law of the leper. This is the amazing thing. I read it in Leviticus chapter 23 or maybe chapter 17. I don't know. Read the whole book of Leviticus. You'll find the law of leprosy. A man is declared leprous and contagious if he has the white nodules of the leprosy growing on his skin. And he's unclean. The priest, if he sees the budding nodules, the white mark of leprosy, he will declare him unclean. But, and this is, I'm paraphrasing, but look this up for yourself. But if the leprosy takes over his whole body, if the leprosy takes over everything, there's not one square inch of the guy's flesh that is not covered with leprosy. And if the priest discerns this and sees that it is so, he will declare that man clean. I first saw that. I said, what? Clean? It's because the leprosy can't do anything else. It cannot expand anymore. It cannot. It's the contagion is stopped. It's arrested. It's done. It's exhausted itself on the poor guy. Now it's clean. Likewise, Jesus Christ took the full bore leprosy, to go with the analogy. And there was nothing else left from Satan. That's why we walk and whistle while we walk. That's why we have no fear of condemnation. That's why we have no fear that God's going to change his mind, that Satan's going to pull a fast one, come back with another trick. No, all he can do now is lie. And so this is why, even if we were going through the tribulation, which we're not, this is why we wouldn't fear it. Because we have the name of God in Christ. That's our seal. It's going to be the seal of the 144,000. And if it's their seal, it's even more ours. Because we have a more intimate relationship with Christ than even these 144,000. They are presented as a bride to the groom, Christ. God married Israel. He cast them away. He's going to bring them back. We're not married to Christ. We're his body. That's an even closer relationship. We don't have his name on our forehead or the name of his God on our forehead. We have the very spirit of that God inside us, makes its home in us. We don't need a temple. We are the temple. That's never said of Israel. They need a temple. We are the temple. What can stand against that? Nothing.